Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast, broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we have with us Dennis and Andy from Batch. Dennis, Andy, great y'all could join us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having us. It's a pleasure to be here. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, so Dennis, if you'll just take a minute to kind of explain to everybody your position in the company, and then I'll let you turn it over to Andy and let Andy kind of introduce himself and talk about his position with the company.
Absolutely. So my name is Dennis Mistriotti. I am the CEO and co-founder of Batch by Wisconsin Hemp Scientific, or Batch CBD. We're an e-commerce CBD brand and manufacturer. Andy and I are two of three partners. Griffin's our third partner, who's not joining us here today, but we all do a lot of administrative things, but my primary role in the company, different from the rest, is kind of leading all marketing, advertising, and branding side of things. Andy?
Thanks, Dennis. So I'm Andy, and I started this company with Dennis and Griff a few years ago, right when we graduated college. It was funny, when we started, we didn't really have roles, and we sort of morphed into our roles, which has been a fun experience. But my background is in chemical engineering. So as we started, I was more so involved in designing our process for manufacturing products. But as time has went on, I've become more involved in the financial strategy and really the deep and dirty of the financials of the company, and sort of guiding our financial decisions, funding, and things like that. I also sort of still am involved with process design and things like that, but I'd say mostly it's financials.
Great. Now, when you go to your website, hellobatch.com, the first thing which hits you in big letters is feel better naturally. Can you just explain what that means? And obviously with its prominence there on your front page, how important that is to your company's vision?
Absolutely. So CBD, I could go really deep into what it's all about, obviously, and I'm sure we'll get there at some point, but CBD is kind of a new product on the market as of the last couple of years, and it's has the potential to help people in a number of ways. And actually, I have to be a little bit touchy on what I can say here, but people generally use CBD to help with sleep, or for anxiety, or to help alleviate pain or inflammation, among a lot of other things. And why I think the reason it has become so popular and has stayed popular over these years rather than just a fad is because it really, really does work. And two, I think a lot of people are desperately looking for any sort of alternative to pharmaceutical drugs whenever possible, especially for something like sleep, which, it's a very serious issue. If you can't sleep, it affects your mood and energy for the entire day. So if people can find a more natural alternative to maybe a prescription medication, it's certainly proven successful for a lot of people. And so that's really what CBD has been all about. And we're also very connected to the farm where the hemp is grown, and kind of show off a lot of that vertical supply chain on where these products are derived from.
Yeah. I wouldn't feel too bad about giving medical advice, because I'm pretty sure we told people to try lychees for COVID-19.
I think we did.
Yeah.
So, and good news is we haven't been canceled yet.
We haven't.
Not yet. The key word.
Yeah.
We haven't been canceled yet.
Yeah. But we've tried.
Yeah, we have tried really hard to be canceled, because we figure if we get canceled, then we're going to go viral.
Yeah.
Right? So that's, I think that's
kind of the trend nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's got to be the goal, right?
I don't know. I don't think we thought the next step ahead past that point.
No, so, we don't
think
CBD ahead.
Does cure COVID. So.
It does.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
That's cool.
And cancer and polio and malaria.
Yeah. Now, with CBD... obviously it's got a little bit of a stigma around it because it's closely associated with marijuana, and a lot of people have an issue forming a disconnect between a recreational drug and a health product. What do you find the biggest barrier is trying to, I guess, break into a relatively new market in terms of education for people who do have that heavy association and have too much distrust of it?
Wow, fantastic question. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I want to start this one with a funny story, Dennis, and I'll let you take over. But when we started the business, actually, it was really funny. We got put on the front page of the Milwaukee Journal. And I remember the first thing my mom said to me, and we were holding bags of pot, which, you know, it's hemp, but it looks like marijuana. And I remember my mom saying, I never thought I'd be proud of you for being on the front page of the journal holding a bag of pot.
So that is a good fun start.
Yeah.
Does your mom have that newspaper framed in her house?
Well, yeah, of course she does.
There you go.
It's funny. I also got her to, I remember when we first started, we obviously had, like, we'd have bags of flour, and my mom has never smoked in her life, but I kept pushing, like, sort of as a joke to start, like, you have to smoke this joint, mom. And I eventually got her to smoke a CBD joint. So that was fun. I also have that picture. It's not framed in her house, but I might frame it in mine.
Oh yeah. You need to get that done right after this podcast is over with. I expect you to get that framed and hung up in her.
Turn it into an NFT and maybe auction it off on the website. Oh,
stop passing out. That's not a bad idea. Stop passing out all this, you know, business stuff where we could make money. Maybe we could have had him send us the picture, then we make it an NFT.
Yeah, what the we chances, get the money. What the chance of us not being too lazy to actually go ahead and do that?
That's a pretty good chance. Yeah, we're not going to do that.
We'd let you guys have it if you want that
All
one.
Right, okay.
Hey, we actually talked to somebody about taking our logo and making an NFT on our logo, and we said, yeah, that's a great idea. How do we do that? Oh, there's all these steps. And we're like, yeah, we just tuned out when you said there's all these steps. So that's why we still haven't done it.
Right.
You know, it might interest you guys. There is this NFT concept, which I thought was really cool. It was more so of like a tech podcast. I think the guy's name is like Shane Purry or something like that. But he actually sold an NFT, and the whole concept of the NFT was that it was like an auction, right? And people could bid on it to get 5 minutes on his podcast. And I think his podcast has, I don't know, like hundreds of thousands, you know, of views or whatever. So it ended up selling, I think, for like 17 Ethereum, which at the time was like $40,000. But it was a cool concept because it's like, if you own the NFT at any time, you can cash it in and get 5 minutes on the person's podcast. So if you guys are looking a way to monetize NFTs, there you go.
Because that's saying we have about 250,000 audience.
That might be nice. I know we won't pursue it because we're so lazy.
We'll forget about
we're
it.
We're so lazy.
So continuing on just with that association with cannabis, can you explain how CBD is kind of extracted, how it's processed, all the kind of steps? Because a lot of people, again, I think they just think somebody takes some marijuana, puts it under high pressure, squeezes it, then you've got some CBD oil and they're kind of worried about the concentration of THC and all these other things. And like I said, that education thing right up front gets rid of these misconceptions and prejudices. So what are your kind of steps with that?
Absolutely. Let me give you a quick CBD 101 for you. So industrial hemp is the raw material used to make all of our CBD products. Marijuana is used for obviously marijuana and THC products. Believe it or not, the two plants are actually genetically identical in every single respect, with the exception of the fact that industrial hemp does not produce THC, which is the molecule that makes you high, in a concentration above 0.3% by weight. In all of the respects, it actually is the same plant. It's cultivated the same way. It looks the same. It smells the same. But there's that legal threshold to be classified as hemp. Now, hemp that was used, you know, centuries ago was very different. It was grown tall like corn and used for its fiber in a more industrial fashion. But the legal definition of hemp is simply a cannabis plant with a THC level below 0.3. And so when you're making products for health and wellness, CBD, it's actually much more similar to a marijuana plant than it is the big industrial hemp plant. So especially in a state like Wisconsin, where we are right now, there's a lot of misconception. There was a lot of resistance at first. We've never had any cannabis whatsoever. How we get from this hemp plant to the finished product is, there's a few ways you can do it, but there are two very common ones. One, the hemp is cultivated like normal, harvested and dried out, and then it is brought to a processing facility like the one that we have, where the oils of the plant are extracted from the hemp itself. There are two main ways of doing that. One is using ethanol, you know, very cold food grade ethanol to perform an extraction. And the other is using CO2. Both are very similar in terms of the final product. You know, ethanol extractions are used for all sorts of botanicals. This isn't new to hemp or anything like that. But basically what you do is you soak the biomass in ethanol. And in that soaking process, everything is pulled out of the plant. And then you just distill off all of the ethanol, right? We recover 99.9% of our ethanol. The last 0.1% is just lost in translation. And we get to use that ethanol over and over and over again. Everything is tested for residual solvents to make sure it's not in there. And then you're basically left with this very thick CBD extract. And the same process could be used for marijuana, by the way. It's just obviously different usage of the end product. But you take that thick crude extract and you then infuse that with a various carrier oil to make a tincture or turn it into a gummy or a topical. And that is basically the entire process. It's not that scary. It's not like Breaking Bad with, you know, explosive stuff or anything like that. And as a brand or a company, we are almost obnoxiously authentic because we actually own that entire supply chain and actually do all that stuff ourselves. So we actually show off a lot of what we do. Our secret is kind of that we don't have any secrets. And in a industry that is still so mysterious to so many people, it's been pretty effective for us, and it's kind of bred very loyal customers because, you know, they can see, oh, that's their farm. That's their farmer. That looks like a pretty normal dude. These are pretty normal guys making all this stuff. These are the people that are answering the questions when I reach out to them. They answer all my questions on their social media and their website, and they're showing us exactly step-by-step how, you know, these products are made. And I think it really kind of breaks down barriers for a lot of people. And we offer free samples as well. That's another thing that we do. We know that it's a little bit more of an expensive product and people are probably hesitant to see if it even works or is this whole thing a hoax. And we're very confident in our product. So we say, well, try it before you buy it. And then if you like it, you can make a full size purchase. So that's kind of the crash course in what, you know, a few of the many things we try to do to educate people and destigmatize the industry.
Yeah. Now, before you ask your next question, can we actually back up? And we keep saying the term CBD. What does that stand for?
Good question. Andy, you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. CBD stands for cannabidiol, which I won't even attempt to spell for everybody. But CBD is a class of compounds called cannabinoids. So cannabidiol, CBD, is one cannabinoid. THC is another cannabinoid. CBG, CBC, and basically all the way down the alphabet list, you have all the cannabinoids. Each of them has a slightly different therapeutic effect. Some of them are more challenging to grow in the cannabis plant than others. And they all have various prices. I don't know if anyone's interested in the economics of it, but as I was saying, some of them are harder to grow than others. So if you're buying like a CBC extract, for example, those go for like, you know, as much as like $10,000 a kilogram, as opposed to CBD, since it's become so popular, you know, extracts, CBD extracts, if you just sell the raw extract, you can get them for, you know, $500 a kilogram. So the prices of these things vary widely, the popularity of them vary widely, but CBD is just one cannabinoid among many, which THC is also a cannabinoid.
Yeah. What's confusing is a lot of states send mixed messages on the legality of certain hemp-derived products. I mean, for instance, here in Texas, Delta 9 or marijuana is illegal unless you have a medical requirement for it, yet Delta 8 is perfectly legal. And, you know, you can buy with online or whatever, or in stores with high contents of THC. And if you have enough of it, it's exactly the same as the Delta 9.
The Delta 8 gets you stoned.
We may have had some Delta 8.
I have no experience with that whatsoever.
There's a reason we know
I've never even heard of this.
Yeah, there's a reason we know that the liver translates THC into 11-hydroxy metabolate, but we don't know what that is. But different states are sending out these messages that, you know, don't take this, it's not safe. And it seems excuses. They really want to regulate it and make money out of it. And they make these excuses of, we can't guarantee the quality. We don't know if it's going to be tainted. Now, your website and your products speaks of a little bit more of a high quality and perhaps a more high-end dollar product than a lot of CBD products out there. So can you tell the listeners and the viewers the difference between the CBD oils that you have and the ones you produce than perhaps some of these ones they might buy in the local 7-Eleven gas station off the shelf on the way out?
Absolutely. So one thing that's kind of fascinating is that CBD is kind of the poster child of the hemp industry. But what actually provides so much therapeutic property is actually what's called a full spectrum extract. And that's a little bit of industry jargon. But basically what that means is it's not just CBD that is contributing to these products, but it's also all of the other cannabinoids and terpenes and vitamins and nutrients from the hemp plant that is extracted. And it's all quantified in milligrams of CBD. But in reality, that extract that I was telling you about that we make at our facility, that's about 50% CBD, or maybe 60% CBD. And the other 40 to 50% is all of these other compounds found in the hemp plant. And when all of those compounds work together synergistically, it creates a very powerful product. People don't necessarily know that. Like I said, CBD is the poster child. We are extremely determined, though, to use a full spectrum extract because everything that we make is very effect-based. We don't make, you know, CBD, you know, tennis shoes or something, right? Obviously, that's an exaggeration, but there's all sorts of funky products out there because CBD sells itself. And we, by maintaining our supply chain from high-quality hemp genetics and our extraction process and keeping everything together all along the way, it's a very high-quality product. And the reason that's a little bit more expensive is because in order to maintain a high product quality that's full spectrum, you have to take care of the plants very well. Also, they have to be grown properly with good genetics and harvested and extracted properly. We are actually a private label and custom manufacturer for about 30 other brands, actually, believe it or not. Some of them much bigger than Batch even. And we do what our customers request. But, you know, sometimes these customers are choosing to have a lower quality product. And a lot of the time, it is a product that is only CBD. It's what's called CBD isolate, where the molecule is literally isolated all the way down to a white powder. And when you do that, it's not completely ineffective, but you're losing all of the other therapeutic compounds found in the hemp plant. And when you do that, the input of the hemp that you are using to get to the isolate does not matter because you are now working with a commodity. It's like water, right? CBD is CBD at that point. And so we're a little bit more of a craft product than that. And the results speak for themselves, I guess. But that's, you know, one of the main differentiators. And we're not the only ones that do it, but it's just, you know, another one of those things that we try to educate as many people as possible on. Because one, it is pretty fascinating. And I think that is what people think they are always getting when they buy CBDs. When you buy CBD, you're probably expecting to get a product like the one that we provide under Batch. But for cost cutting reasons and for certain aesthetics, that's not always the case. And especially almost exclusively if you buy one at a gas station or something.
Right. I mean, I can honestly imagine, especially with the private label, like we'd be interested in doing a private label CBD with y'all and just give us like the absolute lowest quality so we can sell it for like 99 cents, because that's how cheap we are with most things.
I've always wondered about people who buy things like that at the counter in gas stations, because I can understand people picking up Advil, right? They've got bad toothache, bad backache, headache, whatever, and they're desperate. But who's so desperate that they think, yeah, there's a chance I might have sex tonight. Oh, there's some Mexican Viagra there.
Right.
22 times the normal strength. I wonder what side effects that
Dennis
might have.
Was yeah. just in Vegas, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just I don't know kind of that risk versus reward.
No kidding. I mean, if you're talking about something like that, you want the good stuff.
Yeah.
And so talking about maybe, and I know this is getting a little medical, right? But I know some pushback is, you know, for older folks, right? Which this could really help them, especially like arthritis or, you know, some of those diseases that appear later on in life. But then they kind of get nervous about drug interaction, right? It's always, don't take this with alcohol. Don't take this with this. You know, eat a meal before you take this pill. What about any kind of interaction with CBD versus pills that, you know, older folk might be already taking that might make them nervous and say, I better not take this. Is there anything they need to be worried about with that?
First of all, you hit it right on the head with the older folks, you know, using CBD. They're the most resistant to start because of the cannabis association. But once they become a customer, they are the best, most loyal customers we ever could possibly have. But to answer your question about drug interaction, to be honest, that is really one where we always say, make sure you check with your doctor. We're not the ones that are going to know. However, from our experience in talking to people, there's minimal to no concern with almost any drug. It's nothing really potent or, I don't know, intrusive, I guess, in a lot of ways. And so we've not had anybody among thousands of customers come up to us and say, hey, my doctor said I can't take it for this reason, but we're also not doctors. So you shouldn't really listen to us on that one, but it's generally, you know, trying to beat around the bush a little bit here.
I kind of put you on the spot with that, right? Because I preface that with, I know you're not a medical doctor, whatever, but like I was over at my parents' house this weekend and my parents are in their 80s. And my mother is literally telling my wife how she bought a copper bracelet off of, you know, some ad on Fox News or whatever. And now her arthritis is doing so well and she needs to get a copper bracelet because, you know, my wife's back was hurting or something like that. And I'm like,
my mom has one of those.
Yeah, you know, it's such witchcraft, right? But this is actually a natural way that there's proven stuff behind it. But I could see somebody in the older folks situation, right? Where it's like, well, I'm going to wear a copper bracelet. That's not going to interfere with my pills. But if I start doing this, maybe it's going to interfere with my pills.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so one thing is, you know, a lot of times it's pain with older folks and a topical product is always going to be safe, right? That won't interact with anything. And a lot of times what happens is some of the most satisfying things are when you have somebody that's really, really grumpy about it. Like just this summer we were vending, or we had a sponsorship booth at music festival here. It's Summerfest. It's not like your typical music festival, but anyways, we were interacting for the first time with our customers face to face, and the people that are walking around shopping during the day, a lot of times, you know, maybe 50 years plus, 60 plus, and I go, you know, what is this stuff? Like, I've heard about this on the news. Like, I got to be careful. Like, this is garbage, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all good. We're handing out free samples. If you want to try one, give it a shot. He's like, well, I do have, you know, this and that problem. And the most satisfying thing is to have them come back literally that same day, a couple hours later, and just like, you know, buy the whole shelf basically. So that's really cool. But, you know, without giving, you know, everybody has different circumstances, different medications that they're taking. You always have to check with the doctor on that, but a topical product for pain relief is always a safe place to start. And then if you like that, you can always try something else.
Yeah, I want to thank you for the sample box you sent me. I would say us, but I normally
you sent it to him. I haven't even gotten to see any of this.
Yeah, so let's just be clear.
That's what we were told to do.
You've seen the hats, mate. That's what you needed to see.
Yeah, well, I got a hat.
You got a hat.
I got a hat, yeah, and that's it.
Yeah,
and then you told me I couldn't wear it. We had to set it here on the table.
Yeah.
So let's just be clear.
Yeah, in those samples, you had a CBD balm, fire and ice, and I used to play professional sports, so I still have a lot of overhanging like aches. And I've gone through a lot of products like Icy Hot, Tiger Balm, all those different ones. But, you know, after a few days of using that balm on my lower back, it really did make a difference, which the normal products I'd been using hadn't. Now, what's the difference in the way that perhaps CBD oil is absorbed in the skin on a topical application and why that's effective as opposed to some of these other things on the market and the methods their products use to relieve pain?
Google, do you want to try that one?
Yeah. Sure. So, I mean, I would say anytime you take a topical as opposed to ingesting something in your mouth, like, you know, our most popular products are tinctures, right? So a tincture is just like this little oil dropper where you put it under your tongue and it absorbs into your bloodstream if you take it that way. So when it absorbs into your bloodstream, the CBD and the other active ingredients in the products are spread throughout your entire body, And therefore, like, the effects are like spread throughout your entire body and not necessarily like concentrated stronger in one region. When you apply something topically, that's different because, you know, when you rub it on your lower back, everything that you're rubbing on your lower back stays right there. It's not absorbing in your bloodstream. It just absorbs topically into your skin, into the muscle layer, and acts in that region instead of being dispersed throughout your entire body. So I would say generally that's just true for topicals products in general versus ingestibles. I'm not sure if it answers your question for CBD specifically, but I'll let Dennis take over for that one.
Well, I was also going to say it's, you know, like the fire and ice balm that you had, it has that heating and cooling sensation like your Icy Hot or Tiger Balm, but CBD is also a natural anti-inflammatory and pain reliever. So it's kind of two things working there. It's, you know, the CBD is taking effect, and then you also have you know, that menthol and camphor oil giving you that soothing sensation.
Yeah, makes sense. And kind of going along those same lines, and I don't want to get too in the weeds right now, but I know a lot
no
of people,
pun intended.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Well done there. I know a lot of people are now using CBD products for animals. You know, they've got like a dog that's got arthritis, or like he has a really old dog that probably should have been dead like 5 years ago, but still, you know,
it would have still been old then.
Yeah, it would have been old 5 years ago, but, you know, still kicking along. And so, I mean, do you have any kind of animal specific products, or is it one of those things where literally, you know, you can use the human version and the animal version? It's all the same stuff, and you can actually give this to animals to kind of help them out.
I thought you were going to ask if they could recommend any painless ways I could actually get the dog put down.
Oh, no, we don't want to well, do that. No.
It's funny you say that, though, because I have a story behind that. We knew we had to do CBD products for dogs when our third cone, or Griffin, he had accidentally left a pop brownie out on his kitchen table. And he has two dogs. One of the two is extremely hyper, never shuts up, never stops moving. The dog ate the pot brownie, and the dog was magically, he shut up for like a day straight, didn't even move. So that's when we knew, all right, we've got a product here. We can make CBD for dogs, and all these hyper dogs, we can calm them down. That's not exactly how it happened, but, you know, we like to tell the story that way. But no, to answer your question, CBD is CBD, right? It's just a molecule. So like CBD itself, like, you know, what really matters is the other ingredients in the product when you're feeding it to dogs. Like usually when you make like a pet CBD tincture, you're not going to put things like peppermint oil or other things that dogs might be allergic to into it. But as far as like the source of the CBD itself, or like, you know, the molecule CBD, like CBD is CBD. It's just a molecule. So what really matters is the other ingredients and the type of extract that you use for dog products. And Dennis, I'll let you add anything to that if you would like to.
I mean, yeah, that's basically it. I would say the most common uses we see for our pet oil. So we do have a pet oil. Our pet line's kind of minimal right now, looking to expand it a little bit. We just have a bacon flavored CBD pet tincture, and people use it for older dogs with arthritis or anxious, skittish dogs for like, you know, fireworks or separation anxiety and stuff like that. Some people do make dog treats and stuff like that too. And we've been approached by pet manufacturers to do so. Just haven't quite gotten around to it, but the pet market for CBD is huge and growing. I think people even use it for horses sometimes.
I would not be opposed to a bacon flavored CBD for humans. Yeah. Let's just be clear. We all like bacon, yeah. Right? We can't just save that for the dogs.
If you want to send us a sample of that, I'll make sure it gets to the dog.
Yeah.
You think you want that, but when we were making, so obviously we try all of the products that we make, you know, and when we were first developing products, we were making products kind of for ourselves. That's just how the process goes. We don't have any clinical trials going when we're a startup and all this stuff. And so we're like, okay, that was working. And when we made this pet tincture, we had this bacon flavoring oil and I tried it and almost couldn't eat bacon for a year. It was so disgusting. It was terrible. And so, because right, we were making it for pets. It's like bacon. It's like smells kind of good. And we all tried it and it was just repulsive. And thankfully we learned our lesson. We've since made salmon tinctures for cats for another brand. We weren't stupid enough to make the same mistake twice.
Yeah, it was almost like the bacon strips, right, for the dogs, yeah. Where it's like they think it's bacon, but, you know, if you could actually look into that dog's mind, he's like, I know this isn't
bacon.
Well,
they'll eat cardboard if you wave it in front of them enough. If they're that type of dog, they'll just snatch
it. Right, and you put enough flavoring on it, they're going to eat that. But, yeah, dogs are a little bit smarter than we lead them on to believe.
They eat their own poop. There's only so much competition, surely.
That's true.
What's going to be flavorful?
So are you saying they should make poop-flavored CBD?
That might be a good seller.
I would love to watch y'all try the poop flavored CBD.
That
would be a great YouTube video
for those fussy eating dogs, you know, those ones who will only eat certain brands of dog food, and you even try and put a pill from the vet in there, it will like turns its nose up at it and won't eat it.
Right,
bet if you put it in some poo, put it on the sidewalk there, I'll have that in an instant.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
It's
good channel logistics.
Yeah, we're gonna need a recurring spot here.
Yeah, we're gonna need to get some of Tom Brady's poop. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that South Park episode.
Yeah. I get that South Park reference. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Now in terms of channels of distribution, you guys mostly online now and just directly to consumer, or are you going through distributors and to consumers that way?
Yeah, we're mostly online. We have a pretty, you know, we have a large amount of retail distributors as well, mostly throughout the Midwest, but that's just kind of happened organically. When we were younger company, we were focusing a little bit more on that, but as we've matured a little bit and gained our reputation, we kind of like the idea of being able to tell our story our own way directly to the customer, because we do have a lot to share and we have a lot of information, and it's hard to just portray what our brand is about on a shelf. Given, you know, the vertical supply chain and the farm and the process and all this stuff. So it's kind of nice to control that messaging a little bit better rather than putting the product's fate in the hands of, you know, whatever store is carrying them. We appreciate all of our retail distributors as well. And if anybody reaches out and wants to carry our products, no resistance at all, we'll let them do it. But our focus is mostly on e-commerce, direct consumer. And I think it's been successful so far.
Right. I would just add that, like, to add to Dennis's point, like, we love working with retailers, and like Dennis said, we would never turn them down. But I guess what we're trying to say is we don't put any marketing efforts into selling in retail stores. It's mostly directed at e-commerce. And
yeah, no, that makes sense. Let's back up a little bit, because I'm kind of fascinated with the part that you're going literally from start to finish. So can we go back to the start and talk more about the farm where y'all are growing all this product, and, you know, how y'all decided, hey, we're going to go ahead and literally go from start to finish, you know, growing our own crop all the way to finished product. But let's focus kind of on the agricultural part of this, of growing that farm, how you started that, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. And we worked from the bottom of the supply chain up to the finished product, which I think is probably the opposite of how a lot of brands, consumer brands generally do it. But actually, so when we first started this company, we had very little money. We haven't gotten, you know, any sort of large, massive investments that have propelled us necessarily, but we had some. And the first thing that we did was we actually, before we did any of this, is we bought a cannabinoid testing machine. And what that did was, if you give us a crop, a hemp crop, or a finished product, or a extract, and you give that to us, we can test that product and tell you how much CBD and THC is in that product, along with all the other cannabinoids that Andy mentioned earlier. And the benefit of that to the industry was that farmers could determine, one, the value of their crop based on how much CBD was in it, and also making sure that it was legally compliant for THC levels. And also retailers or manufacturers could verify that the product that they were marketing and advertising contained the amount of CBD that was being advertised. And so we were providing that as a service to the industry. And that was the only thing we did at first, was we were a testing service, knowing we had greater aspirations beyond that. But what that indirectly did for us is, after a little bit of time, we had data on everybody in the hemp industry in Wisconsin. And when we knew the next stage of our operation was, we wanted to start extracting oil. And basically what we did, though, was we had test results on all of the farms in Wisconsin, and we were basically able to hand select the farm that was growing the best crop. And all the farmers were looking to sell their crop at a point, and we were lucky enough to make a relationship with this farmer. So we said, hey, you've been sending us samples. What if you are the exclusive supplier for batch? It wasn't even batch at the time. And whatever, we kind of got close with them. They meshed with our personality. They're in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, really good people. We're growing things the right way. And we kind of created this partnership with them where they are now an extension of our brand. So we're not farmers by trade, obviously, but we know a lot about hemp farming from where we learned, which is a whole nother story. But, you know, we got connected with this person, this group of farmers, and then they started supplying us with their crop. And now they're the exclusive supplier of hemp for our production. And then it kind of moved up from there. So now we have the farm growing the exact type of hemp genetics that we request in the manner that we request, delivered to us in these specific ways. And then we took over the extraction, and then actually, you know, we were doing so much of the scientific side of this process already that taking it one step further to finished product was pretty easy and kind of a natural evolution. And before you know it, now we're like finished product experts, but it kind of started all the way, just little by little, kind of expanded parts of our supply chain and made it monetize them all just enough to get us to the next step.
Yeah, kind of jump in a little bit, Jason. You mentioned that, you know, the CBD oil you sell comes in tinctures and in gummies. What's the benefit of one taking over the other? I mean, what is it different when it goes straight in your bloodstream as a tincture as opposed to being digested in your stomach? What's the difference?
Yeah, so when you take a tincture, they say you're supposed to hold it under your tongue for a little bit and then swallow it after about 30 seconds. That allows a little bit of time to absorb in your bloodstream quicker. In practice, it's not that big of a difference. Personal experience, I don't think it makes that big of a difference. A gummy works almost just as well from the tincture, but a lot of people say that the tincture works better for them. The main reason to offer both is just method of consumption, really. People like the taste of a gummy. Obviously, it's a little bit cleaner, easier to dose. You know, one gummy is a little bit easier than, like, you know, 3/4 of a vial of oil. But both are going to be effective for the same things, basically.
So when you have something like a full spectrum CBD, what is that? Is that the ones which contain CBD and the other CBNs and stuff? What's a full spectrum CBD? Because I see that on a lot of products.
Andy, you want that one?
Sure. Yeah. So full spectrum just means that the extract that is used as the source of the CBD of the product is the most accurate representation of the molecular composition of the plant. So I know that's a mouthful, but what I'm trying to say is that when you use a full spectrum extract, what you're using is the most similar to the plant. as opposed to that, you could use more processed extract, in which case you're removing more and more, and you're getting down to quite literally just like the pure molecule of CBD itself. So like you're asking like, what is in a full spectrum extract? That's exactly correct. It can be other cannabinoids, CBC, CBN, THC up to 0.3%, because once it's over that amount, it's illegal technically. And other sorts of molecules as well, like terpenes. Terpenes are another class of molecules found in the hemp plant and also in many other plants in nature that have therapeutic benefits. Some examples of that are limonene, which is found in, you know, lemons, obviously limonene, you know, terpinolene. These are just some examples. But yeah, full spectrum just basically means that there, instead of there just being one molecule CB that's good for you, there's a number of molecules in that extract, the extract that's used to be infused with the other oils that make the product. And you're more generally getting like a, you know, a more complete formulation that is good for you in multiple ways. Actually going back to, I have a fun picture to show you guys, if we're able to show a picture. Dennis is saying that the first thing we did was open up our facility with the testing machine. And I actually have a picture of when we first opened up the facility. And quite literally it was like this empty warehouse with a testing machine. It's kind of a fun picture to look back at now that we're much bigger. I don't know if you guys want to see it or if we can show it.
Yeah, I just turned on the sharing, so you ought to be able to jump into the screen sharing thing right there.
Sweet. Sweet. Can you guys see it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So this is us. This is our first week of operation. As you can see, we were in this wacky warehouse, and quite literally all we were doing at this time was testing products. If we tried to manufacture products in this specific warehouse, we probably would have been arrested. So
yeah, that by looks, the time that looks like the location of people I do deals with on Grand Theft Auto.
Yes. And
yes, exactly.
So, it was so crazy. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, yeah, it's like we tried to get out of here as quickly as possible. It's just a scramble once we graduated and had funding for this to, you know, start bringing in cash. So we had to take anything we could get. But within a month, we found a much nicer facility.
Yeah. Hey, make sure you send that picture to me so we can, you know, share it on our social media as well. You know, for those that might not be watching this on YouTube or whatever, but might look at it later. No, that's a very cool picture. Let's talk about the name, Batch. Very cool logo. Once again, thank you for the hats. And, you know, of course, Dennis is wearing a hat right now. I mean, very cool hats. We didn't want to, you know, put them on because we like to bend the brims of our hats. We're a little bit older than you guys, so we wear our hats a little bit differently. So let's talk about where the name came from, all that good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. First of all, I bend mine as well. This is how they come.
You need to look right there. That's the way I wear a hat. When I wear a ball cap, and yeah, that's how old I am. I still call them ball caps, right? I'm just like him. I mean,
that's bend more of a southern thing, though. Yeah. Like here in Texas, pretty much everybody kind of.
That's true. I mean, we use what we call the coffee cup method, right? So you take the brim of a hat, and you actually, and we actually have a coffee cup right here from our friends at Kitcaster. And then we take the brim of a hat and we tuck it in a coffee cup, and then it forms the brim just right, just like that. And once it sits in the coffee cup for a while, it will actually show up just like that.
Jesus, you guys should patent that. Yeah, Jesus, guys. Start a whole business off of that.
Trademark. No, that's just been an old school Texas thing. I mean, way back in the day, I mean, you just sat there and you did this.
That's what
I
did.
Yeah, and when you put the hat on, eventually, you know, you got that nice curve on there. And I know that, like, the SoCal style is to keep it flat, and then you wear the hat backwards and all that. But yeah, it was always, you know, if you had to clean your hat, you threw it in the dishwasher on the top rack, and once it came out, then you stuck it in the coffee cup and, you know, let it sit there overnight. And when you picked it back up, the brim was perfectly done. But anyway, I really digress there, but anyway.
You don't want to know how I clean my hat.
Well, because you don't.
No, I do.
No, you don't.
I throw them in the bath when I have a bath.
Yeah.
And so once I sit there with them and then just, roughly. But yeah.
So that's not that bad, though. Then you just right into the coffee cup after that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll throw this one out in a coffee cup and then I'll get back to you guys on how it looks. Then you can, you know, wear it with a little bit of confidence. But, you know, we actually had, we had hats that were a little bit more bent like that originally, but they had a Velcro back. You just can't have that. You need, the snapper of fitted.
Now, what do you put in your...
We got distracted on hats.
Yeah.
Let's talk about why the company's called Batch.
So I could give you the, you know, the polished story, or I could give you the honest story. And the honest story is that, well, first of all, our company is called Wisconsin Hemp Scientific. And we were, that was a fitting name because we were doing a lot of manufacturing. We were selling bulk extracts. We were doing testing. We were very lab and oriented before we were on the consumer product side of things. And we, when we first made our very first product, it was branded as Wisconsin Hemp Scientific. And it had like a little dropper, oil dropper and pot leaf logo, just out of necessity, just to get something out there. And then it was like, okay, let's focus on our brand a little bit more here. And we just had to completely rebrand, and we knew we could do better than that. To be honest though, every word under the sun is trademarked for the health and wellness domain. I swear. I mean, it was like, we went through every single word of like Greek, Sanskrit, Spanish, all this stuff to find something cheeky that would sound like fun.
It was like that South Park episode to reference another one where they try to make an episode, but the Simpsons already did it. It was like that same thing.
Simpsons did it.
Can't do it. Yeah. It was that same thing. Yeah. It's like, we'd come up with a name and we'd be like, you know, cross your fingers, do the trademark search. Shit. Again, like literally for
it was weeks, actually weeks crazy, straight. Like maddening. And it got to the point where we were like, you know, coming up with names and we were like, okay, here's one. And then you like kind of take a step back and you're like, what in the hell is this name? Like, we can't use that just because it's not trademarked. Coincidentally though, Batch is like actually a fitting name. So this is like, right, this is like the behind the scenes, like how it actually happens, right? This is like the necessities that we have to go through to make it happen. But Batch made sense because we actually produce everything in a batch process, right? It's like a one batch at a time, one batch of hemp. And we also, it was also somewhat fitting because we have this private label manufacturing side of our business. We make unique blends of all sorts of different products. We can make one-off products, and it kind of is a token to the manufacturing side of our business, which is rare in the CBD industry to be vertically integrated like this. So it kind of worked out that way. But if I were to only say that, that'd be a lie, because in reality, we were just, you know, fighting to find something that we could brand ourselves under. And we just were tired of the whole pot leaf, you know, hippie look. And Wisconsin Hemp Scientific was a little, it just didn't fit well with the brand we kind of wanted to propose. So here we are now with Batch.
Sure.
Yeah. Was there any tie dye involved?
Never.
Okay.
Never once.
Okay,
that was good. Like an immediate, absolutely not. Like anything but that. We already saw it out there, right? By the time we were making our own brand, we were very deliberate. It was like, you know, modern, kind of trendy, but a little bit classic. So
here we are. I will say though, going back to that Journal Sentinel article, I remember Dennis was wearing a tie-dye Grateful Dead shirt on the in our picture. So that was before we were a little more polished. But
it was a Wisconsin tie-dye Grateful Dead shirt because we were all college roommates, Andy Griffin and I. And so it was like, what do we wear? We don't even have merch yet. It was so early on when we were on the cover. And so I'm like, oh, I'll wear my Badger shirt. But then it was like tie-dye as well. But it was fitting at the time. We had literally fitting. Big bags of hemp and everything. So drew some eyes.
Fair enough. We'll give you a pass on that one.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's a super cool name for the company. But how do you push that association with the name Batch and CBD oil? Because like you say, you know, you pick up 95% of CBD oil companies, and even if they don't have CBD oil on there, you can tell what it is from the logo or pretty much have a good guess. But you've got a product name which there's no immediate association with a specific product. How do you kind of market that?
It's a good question. We actually brand ourselves mostly as Batch by Wisconsin Hemp Scientific. Obviously Wisconsin Hemp Scientific being the parent company, so to speak. So that usually takes care of it, but also in almost any scenario, you know, it's funny you say it that way. Like if I were to just have like a big billboard that said batch, like anybody would have a clue what that is, but it's always presented in context. Now that I'm thinking about it, you know, there's always with a picture of our products or of oil or gummies or with some sort of description or on a CBD related article or something like that. So I don't think we've actually ever had that issue where people are asking us, who are you guys? What do you even sell? And to be fair, also the merch is a little bit more for the aesthetic. So, you know, we don't have anything here, but it's like, we're going to make some stuff that we think looks cool that we're going to wear. So we got rid of some of the other words in there.
Yeah, I know. Right. I totally get that because it was like when we were naming our podcast, The Wolf and the Shepherd. It's an old Aesop fable, right? But, you know, the wolf has went by the wolf forever. And when we decided we were going to start a podcast, I'm like, well, I've got to incorporate wolf in here. So what else am I going to do? And I'm not that creative. So I'm like, well, how about The Wolf and the Shepherd? That kind of sounds good. And it's an old Aesop fable, right? So you see that and you're like, well, what is that? I always thought, well, kind of got to what we consider a cool logo. Maybe somebody's going to see that and say, let me look that up and figure out what it is, right? And it kind of goes back to y'all's. If I'm wearing this hat and somebody says batch and they walk up to me, I'll explain it to them, but they might see it and they're like, batch, I wonder what that is. And then once they go on Google or something like that and they search it, they see that same logo. They're like, oh yeah, I saw that guy. He had this hat on or shirt on or whatever. That's that logo. Let me look it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, if you ever type in batch CBD, if somebody tells you it's CBD and you type in batch CBD, you'll find us for sure. Now, same thing with you guys with podcasts, right?
Right, yeah.
Wolf and the Shepherd podcast, boom, first one.
If you type in The Wolf and the Shepherd and midgets, we actually have the world's number one podcast on midgets.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, we did
that. Actually, if you type in midget podcast,
we didn't get cancelled for that one. So,
who are the guests?
Oh, we didn't have the guests.
Oh,
we
yeah.
were just talking about midgets.
It's just, that's hilarious.
We need to do a part two and have midgets in here.
With midgets, yeah, come on.
Yes, absolutely. That'd make a great Christmas episode. We could dress them up like elves or something.
Can't you get a few out of your cellar?
Maybe so.
Now, one little known fact, or at least I think it's a fact, I didn't research enough about it, but it sounded like a fact, was that CBD oil actually does something in the brain to create new cannabinoid receptors for Delta 8 and Delta 9 for people who are building up tolerance when they're using it for pain management, because that's the issue a lot of the time when people are using, you know, especially Delta 9, is that a tolerance can build up pretty quickly. But, and again, you can tell me whether this is a fact or not. I only read this about a week ago, but CBD oil will actually build up new receptors for cannabinoids so that it reduces that over familiarity with a particular type of THC or Delta product, even all the way up to Delta 10. Is that true or is that just a...
Ghoul, you want to try that?
Sure. Well, I would say with anything you're taking, if you're taking too much of it, you're going to build up a tolerance for it, right? At least from my own personal experience, as well as of things, things that I've read. As far as the particular thing that you're saying being true, the honest answer is I don't know. I actually haven't read any literature on that like specific topic, so I couldn't speak on it. But I will say just from personal experience and just from experience talking with customers in general, with the recommended doses that we give them, as long as they stick to it, it's generally the case that they don't build up a tolerance where they no longer experience the good effects that they're experiencing. Generally speaking, customers that liked their product a year ago, they're experiencing the same effects now that they were a year ago. So maybe that is the case that what you're saying is true. And that's why I'm not sure, but,
I'd say that.
Yeah, I would have answered it too. Yeah, I'm pretty sure nobody else other than people having chronic pain issues would find that of any relevance whatsoever. But
sure.
Yeah. Now, what are your future plans? Are you going to diversify and bring out a whole range of different batch products? Or are you just going to push the flagship ones you have at the moment?
Great question. It's a discussion a lot of late. And we're in a very transitional point of our business right now, where we're like, we're moving from kind of a, you know, the scrappy startup phase into a very organized, more legitimate medium-sized company. And so we're really dialing in a lot of the things in our current production for CBD products. But, and same thing on the marketing side, right? We're learning how to market our products to the masses and find things that actually work well for us. And we know how to, you know, control all of our logistics and our operations. And what I think we'll probably the near future focus on making that a well-oiled machine. But then once we do, we absolutely can open it up to other kinds of products. And Andy, Griffin, and I have already been kind of experimenting a little bit with what other products would be fun to make. We'll probably stay in this wellness domain because it's kind of similar customer base, and it's definitely gratifying to provide high quality products in this field, but not exactly sure what it'll be. I know right now we're in Milwaukee. Well, I'm sitting in Milwaukee right now, but our manufacturing facility is like 30 minutes outside of the city. And we've been looking for years to get something a little bit closer to us. But we have been, you know, before we started recording, you guys talk about, you know, always organizing and moving things around in your space. We have been busting at the seams in our current facility for like a year and a half now. So we've decided we're going to start manifesting it, that it's going to happen. But we found a building that we really like, and that is kind of the next step, is move into a bigger space. And once we do that, we can start doing a lot more. So future is bright, but a little uncertain still.
Nice. No, super glad to hear it. I mean, y'all are doing great things, and we appreciate the time that y'all took out of y'all's busy day to talk to us. So, Dennis, Andy, I'd kind of like to give y'all a couple of seconds here to tell everybody how to reach out to you individually. I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Dennis as far as like the company stuff or whatever, but you know, if they want to reach out individually to y'all, if y'all have any last words, shoot those at us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like most brands, check out the website. It's hellobatch.com. If you're interested in trying a free sample of CBD, that is a real offer that we do. So if you want to do that, you can try hellobatch.com/free. If you go on the website and you know, you just go to the contact us tab of the website, I will actually be seeing those messages. So if you have a personal question for me, you can contact us there. Any questions about the company, go to the website. Otherwise, we have a super fun and engaging Instagram page as well. And that is found at batch_by_WHS. So you can also shoot us a DM there if you have any questions or just want to get in touch. We do in fact respond, and it is us responding to everything. It's not a call center or anything like that. Andy?
I think you covered everything, man. That was well done. Hellobatch.com.
Nice. Well, hey guys, we certainly appreciate it. We hope all our listeners are going to, you know, reach out and check out your products. I mean, we're fans of that. We're fans of natural medicine and all that good stuff. I don't think any of our listeners would be surprised by us supporting something like this. So keep up the good work. Thank you for the hats. Thank you for, or actually you should tell them thank you for the samples.
Cause I
didn't even get them, but that, yeah, that's
typical. Do I have to say you're supposed to share them? You're supposed to share the samples?
No, that's implied, but all the cool stuff he always keeps.
It
always works that way. I always hear it after the fact. I get a text message saying, oh, by the way, we're talking to these guys on a podcast today, and they sent me all this cool stuff. And sucks that you can't have any. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's the way it always is. But with all that said, thanks, guys, and thanks for tuning into this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd, and we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.